Welcome back to Ask Me Another. I'm Ophira Eisenberg.
And I'm Jonathan Colton.
And this hour, we're reliving some of our favorite musically themed trivia, puzzles, and word games.
That's right. And a lot of the time, our music games are like the ones we've just played, sort of name that tune style. But there are many other kinds of games that we play. In these next three, we get a little bit clever and disguise word games as songs. We have our contestants sing and clap along, and we search to find the best lyricist in our crowd.
Can we do it? This first game is called Triple Word Score, and joining our band is puzzle guru John Chinesky. And we've got our next two contestants, John Early and David Schmidt. Two fascinating guys. John teaches at science camp.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
What do you teach specifically at science camp?
Well, today we made egg drops. Basically, you just drop eggs off buildings, and I find an excuse to do it. So there we go. It teaches physics or something.
That sounds very fun. Now, David, you grew up in Colonial Williamsburg?
Oh, yeah.
In
the original
Colonial?
Hipsters.
1774.
How did that affect your life?
Well, there's lots of pictures of me wearing short pants with stockings.
No.
Buckles on my shoes. I know how to churn butter.
This game is about words that get repeated three times. The word nerds in our audience will know this as the literary device epizeuxis, which is repetition of a word for rhetorical effect, effect, effect. So, John, will you give us an example of this, please?
Yes, an example of epizeuxis. If we said Beyoncé had her first number one hit in 1999 with Destiny's Child, thanks to what song about trifling men who cannot repay debts, the answer would be bills, bills, bills.
Got it? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
I grew up in 1774. Yeah.
It's going to be hard for you.
Yeah.
We do recommend that if you are a time traveler, you not come on our show. Because... So ring in when you know the answer. In nursery rhymes, what is the preferred method for getting a boat gently down the stream? David.
Merrily, merrily, merrily.
I'm sorry, that is actually, technically, that is not a method for getting a boat down a stream. That is just a description of how you might do it. John, do you have a...
What is row, row, row?
That's right. Except that we are not on Jeopardy, so you don't...
This is interesting. One contestant's from a different time and one's on a different show.
Can I use a lifeline after this?
No.
All right, this is a musical clue. Complete the lyrics with a three-word phrase featuring epizeuxis. This is a song from the past and, David, from your future. Well, she got her daddy's car and she cruised through the hamburger stand now. Since she forgot all about the library like she told her old man. And with a radio blast and she goes cruising just as fast as she can now. And she'll have... David?
Fun, fun, fun.
You got it. An episode of Seinfeld helped popularize what repetitive saying used to gloss over the details of a story? David?
Yada, yada, yada.
That's right. The Muppets character known as the Swedish Chef punctuates his usual gibberish with what three-word catchphrase? John.
Verdi, verdi, voo.
Verdi, verdi, voo?
Verdi, verdi, voo.
Well, again, those are not all three the same word. David, do you want to take a crack at this one?
Not at all.
Anyone out there?
Bork, bork, bork.
Bork, bork, bork.
Here's another musical clue. To everything, blah, blah, blah. There is a season, blah, blah, blah. And a time for every purpose under heaven. David.
Turn, turn, turn.
You got it. All right, this is your last clue. The title of what 1970 movie about the attack on Pearl Harbor translates literally from the Japanese as Tiger, Tiger, Tiger? David.
Tora, Tora, Tora.
That's right. John Chinesky,
How'd they do?
The winner, surprise, 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 is David from Williamsburg. Congratulations, David.
Jonathan, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
It could embarrass you.
I'm used to that.
I recently found out that in college, you were involved in some very questionable activities.
I was young.
Yeah. By that, I mean a cappella groups.
Yes.
You were part of something called the Wizard Poofs or something?
No. They were not called the Wizard Poofs.
Is that some
That's
sort of
a ridiculous
Harry
name. They were called the Whiffin Poofs. I'm proud of my a cappella heritage.
Oh, audience. But that's great, because our next game is about Cole Porter, who, like you, was also a member of Yale University's Whiffin' Poofs. Is that real? Come on. So what we've done is a little game we're calling Pin It Like Porter. We've asked our audience to rewrite a few lines of Porter's classic, but with modern references. In fact, we've asked them to rewrite these lines. Jonathan, would you like to help me out?
Yes, you can tell how dated these are. You're the top, you're Mahatma Gandhi.
Who? Yeah. You're the top, you're Napoleon Brandy.
I've heard of that. You're the purple light of a summer night in Spain.
No, that doesn't happen. No. You're the National Gallery, you're Garbo's salary.
You're cellophane. Which apparently that was an exciting thing.
Yeah, if that's a compliment, right? Things
I
have
guess,
changed.
Yeah.
You're sublime, you're a turkey dinner.
Hooray. You're the time of a derby winner.
That's fast. I'm a toy balloon that's faded soon to pop.
But if, baby, I'm the bottom, you're the top.
You're the top, yeah. All right. So. So while we've been busy playing games, our producer has chosen the best two Porter rewrites in our audience. Jonathan will sing each set of lyrics, and then we'll ask you, our studio audience, to vote by applause who penned it like Porter the best. Who's the top? Are you ready?
I'm ready. We need to call these two contestants up to the stage so that we may properly judge and shame you. Is there a Nancy Taubenslag in the audience? Come on up, Nancy. The other one is Samantha Hennig. Are you here, Samantha?
Nancy and Samantha. Let's hear them pen it like Porter.
Okay. So I'm going to play, Nancy, I'm going to play yours first, okay? Are you ready? You're the top. You're the iPhone Siri. You're the top. You're the Big Bang Theory. You're the mega dough earned from J.K. Rowling's words. You're Blue Ivy's mama. 08 Obama. You're Angry Birds. You're elite. You're Cy Twombly's scribble. You're the heat. Jeremy Lin's dribble. I'm a budget bill stuck on Capitol Hill. I'll flop. But if, baby, I'm the bottom, you're the top. That's pretty good. A little
that is great. Blue Ivy is in there?
Yes, I had to look that up myself. Blue Ivy is Beyonce's daughter, apparently. Okay, Samantha, are you ready for your judgment?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. This is Samantha. You're the top. You're the Gates Foundation. You're the top. You're job creation. You're suburban comfort, two cars and a deck. You're a Gagosian gallery. You're Romney's salary adjusted to pre-tax break dollars. You're nanotech. You're the bomb. You're a Whole Foods dinner. You're the song of an idol winner. I am backed up hot and faded soon to drop. But just like Beyonce's bottom, you're the top.
That is the last line to remember. That
yes,
is the
indeed.
Last line.
Yes, indeed.
It's funny how both of them reference Beyonce. She is hot. She is hot. All right, audience. So it's time for you to weigh in and pick who is the top. Both incredible entries. So let's hear it right now for Nancy, our first. Showered in praise. Okay, and how about for Samantha? Okay,
I think our audience has picked. That was very close, but I think it's Nancy. So congratulations, Nancy.
Buddy, baby, I'm the bottom, you the top. Ba-da-ba-da-dee-doo-dee-doo.
Let's have a round of applause for Mary Rose Dalal. Hi, Mary. And Bryce Gilliard. Hi, Bryce.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to Ask Me Another. Now, Mary, you're an actual real New Yorker, born and raised.
Yes, ma'am. This is genuine Brooklyn accent.
Genuine Brooklyn accent. Is Brooklyn your favorite of all the boroughs?
Well,
do you have a favorite?
Well, I'm a native New Yorker. Yeah. I was born and bred in Brooklyn. I went to college in Staten Island for 4 years. Grad school in the Bronx for 4 years, lived in Manhattan 19 years, and lost my virginity in Queens one night.
She wins.
I know, but the interesting thing is she never returned to Queens. She never returned. Excellent. I'm happy to have you. Now, Bryce, you write about interior design and you style rooms for photo
shoots? That's what I do.
That's an
yes.
amazing job. So I love paint colors, all the crazy, you know, names that they try to give these colors to get people interested. What is the in color right now?
Pale avocado.
Pale avocado. I understand, because normal avocado is a little much, right? That is just blaring off the walls.
No. Pale is romantic.
Pale is romantic. Kind of soupy green. I understand. All right, so this is a game called Happy and You Know It. Jonathan, what is this about?
Well, I'm sure everyone remembers the children's song that teaches you that if you are happy and you are also aware of that fact, you should demonstrate that by clapping your hands.
Right, it separates the Paxil people from the Ritalin people.
That's right. That's right. If you are sad, do not clap your hands.
You just don't even bother.
There's no reason to clap your hands if you are sad. So in this game, we're going to give you clues to things, and I'm going to sing you those clues to the tune of If You're Happy and You Know It, because I was a music major in college. I can do this. So Ophira, we're going to try this one out to demonstrate to them. See if you can guess what this is. If you're a mammal and you know it, clap your hands. If you're from Africa and you know it, clap your hands. If your long neck is the key to eating leaves up in a tree.
It's the example, but I'm glad you're excited and enthusiastic.
It's the only answer I'll know.
Yo, you sell yourself short, Mary. The answer this one, and you get to sing it. If I'm a giraffe and I know it, clap my hands. Yes.
Yes,
all right, so contestants, you're going to ring in when you know the answer, but Jonathan will likely keep playing because it's very difficult to stop a happy man. And you will need to ring in and, yes, sing the answer as the last line. Audience, you will not be singing along. I know you'll want to, but you may clap. Please clap. And then after each ditty, we'll both ask you a follow-up question. Either of you can ring in for it about whatever I feel like. Are you ready?
Yes.
Excellent.
If you're a hairstyle and you know it, clap your hands. If you're shaped on either side, clap your hands. If it's in a line and not a chunk, and you can tell folks you're really punk.
If you're a mohawk and you know it, clap your hands.
Yes.
Correct.
So when we're talking about mohawks, the first person that should spring to mind, if you're a certain age, is the former A-Team star, Mr. T.
Oh.
Okay, relax. You don't know what the question is yet. It's a little bell crazy right now.
People get a little twerked up on stage. That happens.
Mr. T had a short-lived reality show in which he traveled across America giving motivational advice. What was the name of the show? Which was named after his famous catchphrase. No, you want me to go to the audience?
Wow.
Both say no? All right, audience.
I pity the fool.
I pity the fool.
Oh, yeah.
If you're a dessert and you know it, clap your hands. If you're ricotta-based and you know it, clap your hands. More valued than a gun in a mobster's hit and run.
I believe that was Mary Rose.
If I'm a cannoli and you know it, clap your hands.
Yes.
Yes, a cannoli.
I didn't get the right one.
Cannolis came to us from Italy, specifically the island of Sicily. Another popular Italian dessert is Neapolitan ice cream, named after the city in Naples. What are the three traditional flavors found in Neapolitan ice cream?
Bryce?
Chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. Yes.
Correct.
If you're an organ and you know it, clap your hands. Be careful. If you're in a pear and you know it, clap your hands. If your neighbor is the spleen and you're also a type of bean.
Bryce?
If you're a kidney and you know it, clap your hands.
Yes, kidney!
And if your neighbor is a spleen, you have the worst neighbor ever. That is a loud, venting neighbor. What Stephen Sondheim musical features Mrs. Lovett's highly suspect version of steak and kidney pies? Contestants, not sure? No? All right, audience?
Sweeney Todd!
Sweeney Todd! Yes, okay, that's all right. Got a couple more for you.
If you're plastic and you know it, clap your hands. If you're an odd utensil and you know it, clap your hands. If you look just like a fork that has eaten too much pork.
Bryce?
If you're a spork and you know it, clap your hands.
Yes, spork is correct.
Now, the word spork is a portmanteau word, a combination of the word spoon and fork. What trademark invention is a portmanteau of the French words for velvet and hook, which is a good description of the product? It's a combination of the French words for velvet and hook.
The old velvet hook, they used to call it.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
You just have to do things with
that. What's that, the old velvet hook?
Bryce?
Velcro?
Yes, Velcro!
All right, what do we have here? Okay, turns out our winner for this round is Bryce.
Congratulations, Bryce.
After the break, we'll see how well Fugazi rocker Ian MacKay knows his punk music when Jonathan plays his version.
If you would, name the song. I am an antichrist. I am an anarchist. Don't know what I want, but I know how to get it.
Do we jump
Wanna
in on this?
Destroy the passive. Kind of harsh in my mellow there, Ian. Cause I wanna be anarchy.
I'm Ophira Eisberg, and this is NPR's Ask Me Another.